be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Once we determine what our strengths are, we can use those gifts and talents to help others to heal. Helping others fosters congeniality. Congeniality facilitates peace and love. Now, here's your host, Terry Sue.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Frame of Mind. I'm your host, Terry Sue, and today the topic of discussion is on understanding the doshas with my guest, Red Jen. Red Jen Ford is a certified yoga teacher, wellness coach, and seasonal eating expert. First as an environmental engineer, then as a management consultant, she spent 13 years juggling her demanding corporate job with her need for healthy and tasty food, plenty of exercise, and fulfilling life. Conquering that challenge to find balance, she realized her true calling was to help others do the same. Jen learned through her own struggles with food and body image issues that it's important to let your diet change with the seasons to optimize energy levels and immune function. Managing a farmer's market has deepened her understanding of seasonal eating, and through the bridge of yoga's sister science, Ayurveda, she has integrated seasonal living and yogic principles into her cooking classes, lectures, and private practice. In Jen's health coaching practice, she specializes in working with individuals who are ready to take control of their health and drop the extra weight while increasing their energy without dieting, deprivation, or counting calories. Jen also consults with organizations to help them define and implement wellness strategies, and she is so proud of her most recent achievement, the online cooking course, Simply in Season, Fall Recipes that Celebrate Healthy and Easy Seasonal Food. So welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Terry Sue. I'm excited to be here with you.
And I'm excited to have you, too. So by now, most people who listen on a regular basis know what Ayurveda is. But to those who are first-time listeners, could you just give a quick overview of the definition of Ayurveda?
Well, literally, Ayurveda is defined in Sanskrit as the science of life. Ayur is longevity, and Veda is science. So if it's an ancient practice of extending life, but also improving quality of life. It's about 4,000 years old, and we consider it the sister science of yoga. And it's through yoga that I really got introduced to the science of Ayurveda.
So is it a form of holistic healing or holistic medicine?
Well, I'd say it's both. I mean, before we had the medicine that we have now, which is surgeries and prescriptions and really disease-focused medicine, Ayurveda really helped us to figure out how to stay well, how to optimize our health and strengthen our immune systems and manage our energy levels so that we stayed healthy and avoided disease. So in that sense, it's a tool for prevention. It's certainly holistic in that it works on the whole body and the mind, but also it could be considered a medicine, is that it does help cure conditions and help manage things that we experience in the modern world today.
So it is easily integrated with modern medicine. Say if a person wants to live an Ayurvedic lifestyle, they're certainly not prohibited from any of the modern conveniences of modern medicine, correct?
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. They would go hand in hand.
All right. So how does Ayurveda work?
It's really an ultimate energy management system. And the premise is that there are three types of energies, and that each of us is usually predominantly one more than the other two, typically anyway. And when you understand what your predominant energy type is, then you have a basis of understanding for how you think and how you process food and information and life experiences. When you have that understanding, then you can make lifestyle choices and food choices that can help balance your intrinsic energy disposition. So it's a real tool for understanding how you operate. Added bonus, it really helps you understand, too, how others around you and people you have relationships with also, what drives and motivates them and how they think and how they process information, so that we have a great understanding and compassion for ourselves, but also for the people that we care about in our lives.
So it's both, when we're talking about that, we're also talking about psychological and physical, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. When we look at the dosha or the energy type of an individual, we very often can see that our mental energy is different than our physical energy or the energy of our physical body, as opposed to the way that we think and process information.
And also, when we talk about the environment, we're not just talking about like trees and grass and animals and things. We're also talking about our environment as far as what we take into our minds along the lines of television, radio, any lyrics that are in music. All of those kinds of things have a profound effect on our own psyche and what we take into our minds, and how that in turn affects how we interact with each other, what we're thinking, on a subconscious level sometimes. That all has to do with the environmental aspect of it as well. True?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the aspects that we look at in Ayurveda is Agni, or digestive fire. And it's not just about being able to process food. It's really digesting all of life's experiences, digesting information, just like you mentioned, of TV and radio and news and headlines and people that we come in contact, and then also our experiences with the environment itself in terms of the seasons changing and food changing, and all of those aspects really do impact us as individuals. In yoga, we talk about how we're all connected, not just to the earth, but to each other in an energetic sense. Whether you believe that or not, I mean, you can still understand how a season changing can really impact the way that you feel. You notice how in the wintertime the days get really short and we tend to hibernate more. We stay inside. We're not out running around as much. You know, we tend to slow down. Our energy levels tend to decrease along with that change in season. So whether you look at it from an energetic perspective or not, we all can see that we're impacted by our environment, even in that sort of a subtle way.
Well, yeah, the circadian rhythm actually affects not only us as human beings, it affects the animals and plants as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about Ayurveda is that these energies, the three energies or doshas we're talking about, are higher at different times of the year, and that really correlates with the growing season. Also, we look at the hours on the clock, too. There are different energies throughout the day that correlate with these three energies. So we can feel the impact of that shift, circadian being our internal energy shift, but see the impact of that based on what's happening in nature, in the seasons, and also in the times of day.
So, how would you differentiate Ayurveda from conventional or Western medicine? When we think about the rhythms of nature, and we think about the circadian rhythm of night and day and all of that, how would you look at that as far as how the two can work in concert, modern science and Ayurveda?
Modern science, the challenge with it really is that it's really looking on symptom sets or disease of the body, as opposed to looking at the whole body and optimizing the health of the whole body. Now, there is a lot of Western medicine that's getting to be a little more alternative, and it's beginning to address having a whole body approach. So Ayurveda is really, it's very more of a system of prevention and improving wellness and optimizing the immune system. So Western medicine, I see that they're just so very, very different. I mean, what we do from an Ayurvedic standpoint in terms of eating and lifestyle changes can certainly support cures that a doctor has for us for a certain disease that's going on. So they're not diametrically opposed.
Mm-hmm.
Ayurveda would only augment what a Western doctor would suggest or prescribe as a way to help a condition.
And, you know, Jen, I've been observing what's been happening with modern science, modern Western science, and I have noticed to a great extent that a lot more people in the field of modern medicine are starting to embrace some of the principles of getting enough rest, eating well, and eating the right kinds of foods, even though they may not say it in the same Ayurvedic context. Some of those same principles are being implemented, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. There is,
especially with yoga, you know, yoga, meditation. A lot of people are encouraging that kind of practice now.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to see that some insurance carriers are even starting to reimburse for yoga classes, for acupuncture, for alternative healing modalities. So it's beautiful to see that the East and West is beginning to meet in terms of optimizing our health.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's time for us to take a short break. So this is Terry Sue with my guest, Red Jen, from Core Power Yoga, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel and the Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Our society is spiraling out of control. Are you stressed out and concerned about the events occurring around you? Is there hope? Yes, there is. Tune in to Living in the End Times, featuring your host, Monita Dukia, who will help you understand and navigate these perilous times. Living in the End Times airs live Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern Time, on Seventh Wave.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
I'm back and continuing my discussion on understanding the doshas with my guest, Red Jen Ford. So, Jen, our topic today is understanding the doshas. What are the doshas? Let's go through that. If you can kind of briefly, I know it's going to take a little bit of time, but, you know, briefly talk about what the doshas are and how they work.
Okay. So the doshas can be thought of as energy types, or when we're talking about how they impact your personality, thinking about your intrinsic constitution. It's sort of like the way you were born, with your ability to process food and process information. And it certainly can change over time. But there are three doshas. The first is Vata, or in the West we sometimes think of it as the winter dosha. The second is pitta, or like the summer dosha, and kapha, or spring. And so if we start with vata, when we think of winter, it's cold and blustery and windy. Another way to really visualize vata or get a sense of it is to think of it like wind, ever moving. There's really no substance to it. And it's always going in a lot of different directions. So a person who is predominantly the vata dosha may have a lot of great creative energy and spiritual energy, but may also have a hard time finding focus. Their body type, if they're a vata body type, would be frailer, a lighter skin, lighter hair, thinner hair, maybe a smaller frame. You know, this is what we might think of as a typical yogi, very thin and nimble, kind of a lanky build would be your typical vata type. And when they're in balance, they can be really creative, bubbly, effervescent people. These are the life of the party people. They love seeing what's new and good, what's the next big thing, next big trend, who's now in the room. They're the bright people who might be flitting about and just having a great load of fun connecting people and catching up to what's the latest, greatest news and gossip. When they're out of balance, though, because they can be have such a hard time getting grounded and finding focus, they can have a hard time really choosing where to focus their energy. So they might be someone who's having a hard time choosing a career or having a hard time finding a routine in their day. The Vatas tend to really like spontaneity. So one of the challenges they face in not really being tied to routine is eating regular meals, sleeping regularly. Vatas, because they have such amazing spiritual and creative energy, oftentimes have a hard time staying asleep because they're so tuned in to that energy and that time of day. The Vata time of day is from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. So even though most of us are sleeping, Vatas sometimes are really tapped into that energy and they wake up with vivid dreams and sometimes worry and anxiety if they're out of balance. So key thing for Vatas is to try to learn to adapt lifestyle techniques and eat foods that are very grounding. So having regular meals, eating foods that come from the earth, that are slower cooked, all will have elements of grounding on them to kind of bring them out of the clouds and down to the earth so they can focus their amazing energy. So in a nutshell, that's sort of how I would capture a vata. So if we were looking at the pitta dosha, which is more like summer, and think of it more like an East Coast summer, it's like hot and humid. Pitta is like the element of steam. That's passion and fire and drive and really sharp intellect, very direct thinking, and very discerning. These are your typical type A people who are very achievement-driven and sometimes also very perfectionist-driven. So they're like, do more, do it better. An hour free on the schedule is got to be booked with something else. You know, they're all about how much can I do in one day and how much can I accomplish. And they have a great ability to process information really quickly, to make decisions really quickly, and communicate their ideas very clearly. They're also really, really quick learners. The challenge for pittas, though, because they're so driven to achieve and accomplish, they tend to overschedule themselves. They tend to be challenged with stress, and they tend to overheat, literally. They have such strong digestive fire, so not only for processing information, but also for processing food, that when they get out of balance, literally, they can overheat. They can have challenges with ulcers, with diarrhea. They can have challenges with the liver because of all of the stress that they put themselves under. And so it's really important for them to make sure they take time to relax, to be more and do less, which is really a challenging thing for pittas. It's also really important for them to practice a bit of self-acceptance that, you know, we're perfect as we are. We don't need to work harder to lose those extra 5 pounds or do that extra workout because you ate the chocolate cake. You know, there's a little bit of acceptance that, you know, like I said, in yoga we call it santosha or acceptance that everything is perfect as you are right in this moment. Mm-hmm. So these are great people to have work for you. They get so much done. But the challenge for them is just to not overcommit and not to overschedule. So also sometimes because they're such sharp thinkers, they can sometimes have a challenging tone in their voice. So just know that if you've got a pitta in your life, that and I have to say I'm predominant pitta, that pittas tend to be harder on themselves than they are on others. So if you ever get a tongue lashing from a pitta, imagine how fierce they are talking to themselves.
Yeah, I've often heard vatas described as what did I do, and pittas described as what did you do, mm-hmm. and then kaphas described as can't we all just get along and find a happy medium.
Oh, I love that. That's hilarious. That really captures it from a personality standpoint. That's a really great example.
Yeah. So let's move on to kaphas.
So kapha is the element of spring, which is earth and water. So a great visual for kaphas is mud, right? Mud, when it's wet and moist, can be malleable and fluid even, but when it gets drier and sort of older, you get stuck in the mud, right? And mud actually even becomes solid like a rock. So kaphas have a greater, have more substance to their body. You know, these are real women who have curves, and you know, men who have broader shoulders, a little more substance to hold on to. Whereas, you know, the vatas were frail, and the pittas were kind of more of a muscular type, sort of medium framed. The kaphas are usually a little more voluptuous or a little more full figured.
Well, that's encouraging, being a kapha. I have something to look forward to.
Well, it's a great thing, and the personality type that goes along with kapha, though, is very grounding. These are the people in your lives that are the steady eddies. They're loyal friends and fantastic lovers, very sensual people. They just have a really grounding effect on the people around them. I have to say I'm really blessed that the love of my life is a kapha man. So it's very grounding for a pitta to have that energy to help a pitta sleep at night. You know, also kapha would be great for a vata too, to find grounding and focus. So
that's a whole different show, you know.
Kapha. I know. It is, but
that'll be a fun one.
I've done these workshops so many times, and people always come up to me and say, "Now I understand why I hate my mother-in-law," or "Now I understand why my husband is like this." You know, so I can't help but see the relationship connection in my own life and in other people's. It's really, that's what I say about the compassion piece. We get so much compassion for ourselves, but also for the loved ones in our lives. So, but getting back to kapha specifically, so when a kapha is balanced, they have the long, steady energy. These are the people that can run a marathon, but they surprise you because they don't look like your typical marathoner. But they have a long, sustained, consistent energy level. And so they're great at tackling challenging projects that take process and detail in order to get through. So they're also great people to have with you, you know, doing some great work. They have a very even keel mentality and energy level. That said, if they're out of balance, they can tend towards lethargy and stagnation, literally the stick in the mud, like getting stuck. The really great way to explain that is that they're the I don't care, and I don't care that I don't care dosha, you know? And I have a really good friend who's like this, and so once in a while she'll just fall into the couch, and I'll come over, and she's like, "No, I'm not going for a walk. I'm not eating a salad. Give me more cream cheese and bagels." You know?
Why does that sound surprisingly familiar to me?
So the cool thing is, when you know all this, then now you're like, okay, so what foods can I do? Because foods have energies in them too. So the foods we eat can help balance our doshas. Different times of day have different energies. And so doing activities at different times of day can have a different impact on how we feel in that moment. I'm sorry, Terry, I cut you off.
No, that's okay. Actually, I was going to talk about that a little bit later on, so we have plenty of time for that. What I was going to ask you, real quickly, is how would a person get started finding out about their dosha?
There are great books out there, and there are some free quizzes online. I mean, there's two websites I can recommend that I know work well. LifeSpa.com, that's from John Julliard, and he's a really amazing approach of taking our Western approach onto Ayurveda, so it's really easy to understand. And of course, Deepak Chopra, who's also so amazing, he has, you can take a quiz at his website too. That's a great way to get started.
Yes, I agree. Okay, well, how safe is Ayurveda?
It's absolutely safe. it will only improve your life. I can't imagine any way that it could actually hurt you. Mm-hmm. It's all about optimizing your energy levels and helping you find more balance. And when we balance our digestive energy, we improve our digestive function. We obviously improve our digestive function, but 80% of our immunity lies in our digestive tract. So if we can align our energies from our life experiences, but also the food we eat, then we can really optimize digestion and therefore immune function. So it's really a great way to help prime yourself for the cold and flu season to start adapting some of these Ayurvedic methods.
Okay. So once again, it's time for us to take another short break. And so this is Terry Sue with my guest, Red Jen from Core Power Yoga. And you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel and the Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Top Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill at yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill at yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Once again, welcome back, everyone. I'm continuing my discussion with my guest, Red Jen from Core Power Yoga, on understanding the doshas. So, Jen, once a person knows his or her dosha, then what?
Well, once you have a sense of your dosha, then you can start to make lifestyle and food changes to help balance it. So, for example, if someone... here's a great real-life example. I worked with a client who was predominantly Vata, and she had a really hard time sleeping. And what we realized is that she was doing very technical work and didn't have a creative outlet for all of her creative energy. So we looked at her daily routine and shifted her schedule a bit so that she would be sleeping, going to bed at a regular time, but also making sure she had outlets for all of her creative and spiritual energy. She started playing her cello again. So it had marked impact on her health. She was finally able to sleep through the night and went a long way to curing her insomnia. So it's things like that that give you a starting point to understand, okay, so where do I start? But just on a very basic level, one of the things that you can do is start changing the foods you eat to better align with your intrinsic dosha. So using kapha as an example, you know, we said if they're out of balance, they can sort of get like a stick in the mud. And some of the foods that they might tend to gravitate to are going to get them even more stuck and slow them down more. So what a kapha wants to do is then reduce foods that make you feel tired and lethargic, right? We've all had like that high-carb lunch that makes you want to fall asleep, or think about Thanksgiving dinner, right? After that, we all want a nap. And that's heavy, empty carbohydrates. So the mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing and bread and macaroni and cheese and potatoes and all of those foods tend to really, really ground us and sort of pull us into the couch. So a better idea for kapas would be to incorporate lighter foods. So foods that grow above the earth, so greens and fresh vegetables and herbs, you know, dark leafy greens would be great, and lighter proteins like fish and chicken and tofu, and grains that have more nutrients in them. So quinoa would be a really great example for kapas. Mm-hmm. So also foods that are warming for the digestive system would be helpful for kapas. So bringing in ginger, you know, which helps with energy flow in the body and circulation and digestion. So those kinds of food changes could really help shift the stagnant energy that a kapha out of balance could feel. So when we're looking at pittas, some great food choices they can make. Pittas tend to be overheated or to run too hot or already have a lot of heat in their digestive tract. So what we want to do for them is minimize foods that increase that heat. You know, a great example is hot foods and chili peppers, right? Mm-hmm. So pittas would do a lot better in having cooling foods. So some ideas of those would be like cucumbers and melons. Foods that have a lot of water and mineral content would be very, very cooling for pittas. But bitter foods also help to balance pitta. So dandelion greens would be great for, you know, the stress that the liver, that a pitta liver has to go under. But all of your leafy greens would be really great. Again, lighter proteins. Red meat tends to be very heating. So pittas, if they're already in an overheated state, would probably do best to minimize that. But also sweet foods. If there's any dosha that benefits from ice cream, it would be the pittas.
Because they're so hot.
Yeah, because they're so hot, and sweet tends to balance heat. So fresh and raw fruits, of course, would be better than ice cream, but, you know, those cooler foods, cooling foods to help calm that heat would be really great things for pittas. But also they do need to have protein to help support their musculature. They tend to be very physical people, right? So we want to make sure they're getting protein, but just probably not so much red meat so that they can eliminate some of that excess heat. And then vatas, you know, tend to be really light, right, and not grounded to the earth, and they tend to not eat very often or eat anything of substance. They tend to think of, you know, tortilla chips as a meal or popcorn. Mm-hmm. So what they don't need is more air, right? They already tend to not eat enough and have problems with too much air or gas in the digestive tract if they're out of balance. Mm-hmm. So important for vatas to have grounding foods, things that come from the earth, things that have more substance to them, like root vegetables, like maybe some creamy-tasting soups and even fish and eggs. You know, one of the suboptimal things for a vata to do would be to eat a raw food diet. I mean, there's amazing benefits to raw foods, but if you already have a cold body and a cold digestive system, adding more cold food to it, it takes a lot of your energy to process raw foods. So raw foods are great for pittas, but less ideal for vatas. So they'd need to look at how to balance the cold with some heat if they wanted to do a raw food diet.
So with all of that in mind, does a person have to completely change their lifestyle to follow the principles of Ayurveda?
No, just like in my coaching practice, I think it's so important to understand that small changes can make a big difference. So you don't have to empty out your whole pantry and your refrigerator. You don't have to completely reorganize your day to align with the dosha energy times of day. But little changes can have a huge difference. Here's an example, like a pitta who loves hot food. Next time you're at, you know, a Mexican joint that has a salsa bar. If you want the hot sauce, okay, but add a couple handfuls of cilantro, which is really, really cooling, so that you're at least trying to balance that heat. So some of those, there are some small changes you can do that help balance without having to swap out your entire lifestyle. Obviously, the more changes you make, the more impact you'll have, but small changes do count. So taking one step can make a difference.
So taking all of that into account, if a person is on medication and they want to start an Ayurvedic lifestyle, would that necessarily mean weaning off of the medication, stopping the medication altogether, or is that something that varies from person to person? How does that work?
It's definitely something you should consult with your doctor with.
Absolutely.
Depending on the condition. Mm-hmm. If you visit with an Ayurvedic practitioner, you can get even deeper into this and get herbs that help to address whatever the chronic illness is. So in that scenario especially, you'd want to make sure that the medicine you're prescribed isn't going to conflict with the herb or be overridden by the herb. So you definitely would want to consult between both the Ayurvedic practitioner and the medical doctor and see really if you can use those as an integrated approach of herbs mm-hmm. and prescription, or if you have to use one or the other. So that would definitely be a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, because sometimes herbs can have an adverse effect on medication mm-hmm. and how it affects the body. So, yeah. So once a person gets started, how soon, and they do everything that they're supposed to do, they're good little yogis and they practice their yoga and meditation, how soon should they, on the average, I know everybody is different, but, you know, a rough estimate of how soon someone should start seeing some results?
You know, I think I've seen people see results in just a couple of days. For others, it takes a couple more weeks. I think it sort of depends on how out of balance you are at the beginning. In one sense, if you're really, really out of balance and you make a few changes, you'll notice the differences right away. If you're not so out of balance, the differences may be subtle, so mm-hmm. you may not have a huge impact, but over time, it's so funny to work with people on these things because it's like without a moment of reflection, they don't even realize how much has changed.
Yes.
Of how they're sleeping or how their digestion has changed until they actually start to talk about it, think about it, and be like, you know what, Jen, I can't remember the last time I had diarrhea. I guess eating the grounding food is just helping, you know. So, mm-hmm. but in I lead Ayurvedic-based cleanses that are 15 days. And we're doing one right now, and the first one, it's already, 3 days mm-hmm. in, and people mm-hmm. are already noticing a difference. Mm. Yeah, it can be that fast. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to get a little bit farther into talking about the doshas in the next segment. We're going to kind of try to get a little bit more specific. And you've given us a great overview, and you've even gone into depth on the doshas and what's involved with understanding them. But we're going to get into a little more about food, music, and environment, and sleep cycles, and all of that in our next segment. So it's time for us to take a short break. This is Terry Sue with my guest, Red Jen, from Core Power Yoga, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave and Health and Wellness Channels. Stay tuned.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
If you're a fan of the Flow Dreaming podcast, or if you're new to the concept of flow, you'll want to check out Summer McStravick's Flow Dream Radio on the Voice America Seventh Wave channel. When mind, matter, and spirit work effectively together, we can create and manifest the lives we want according to our will. Summer and her amazing network of guests will help you find how the philosophy of flow can put all the pieces together in your life. Tune in to Summer McStravix Flow Dream Radio every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave. How can the value of astrology and Reiki come together as a healing process? Listen for The Astrology of Now with Reiki Rising, featuring your host, Curtis Williams. Our program will help you learn using your astrological chart and knowledge of astrology to set the right course in your life. We'll also explore the healing powers of Reiki, shamanism, and E3. You'll find out how easy it is to learn and teach Reiki so that you can help make this healing power work for you and those around you. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. 7th Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Once again, welcome back, everyone. We are continuing our discussion on understanding the doshas with my guest, Red Jen. So, Jen, let's kind of recap what we've done so far. We've already talked about what Ayurveda is. We've talked about the doshas and then how to find out what your particular dosha or body constitution is. And one thing we didn't talk about, though, was when it's out of balance, that's called your Vikruti, right? And when it's in balance, that's called your Prakruti, correct?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about that Vikruti for a minute. What can you do? What can each dosha do to, and when I say this, I'm asking about food, music, environment. Tell us something about the, how someone with a Vata constitution can stay in balance when it comes to their environment, and that includes the type of music that they're listening to. Could you kind of share a little bit about that, and then we can also talk about foods that they, and you, I know you already did some of that already, but say, for instance, if they're they want to maintain. I don't want to say out of balance. I want to say maintain. Because you've already talked about the out of balance part.
Okay.
So maintenance.
Okay. So to maintain balance as a predominant Vata dosha, it's really important to maintain a consistent routine. So exercising at the same time every day, having meals at the same time every day, having some consistency and regularity in the schedule can really help find focus in the mind, because as we mentioned earlier, the Vata energy tends to be creative and scattered and sort of all over the place. Even when balanced, they're still really, really creative. So having structure to the day can help harness that energy a little bit. In terms of the environment, you know, thinking about like their workspace, for example. Mm-hmm. So if they really, yes, in order to focus, you would want to have things orderly, filed away, you know, not a lot of distraction around, especially if they're trying to accomplish something that requires a lot of focus. So having a clean slate in which to work, having a really organized space will help a lot. You know, having white space, you know, mm-hmm, less clutter will help do a lot in terms of helping to focus their creative energy. Even in terms of music, classical music can help a lot for all of us, really, but especially for Vatas, because there's so much frenetic energy going around. There's enough complexity in classical music that the brain can sort of catch on to, but also the harmonies in it can help to to help them focus their thoughts. I mean, this is something I used when I was in college studying engineering. I had such a hard time focusing because there's just so much information and stimuli, and having classical music in the background really helped to sort of quiet the chatter in the mind for me.
Yeah. Right now, the author escapes me, but I know there's an excellent book called The Mozart Effect that really addresses using classical music and integrating classical music into one's life, and particularly with teachers integrating classical music into their classroom setting and situation. So, yeah, that actually resonates very well with me. Okay, so with pitta, what happens with pitta?
So pittas tend to already be very organized. So one of the challenges with them is that everything has to be in its place. So they can maybe cut loose with that a little bit, but they have that great sense of organization and focus, so their space tends to be very organized. And they also the pittas tend to be very scheduled already. So in order to stay in balance, one of the great things for them to do would be to schedule free time, schedule downtime to just be. And maybe that means to get a massage, or it means to walk on the beach, or it means to sit still and meditate. But taking time for stillness that's not associated with accomplishment is a really key thing for a pitta to do every day. Also, getting outdoors is really, really helpful for the pittas, because when we're inside, we're conquering things, right? We're organizing the house, we're doing laundry, we're working working at our desk, at our office, or in the house, right? We're achieving and doing things. Typically, when we're outside, it's more playtime. And getting in tune with nature and feeling the cool breeze on our skin is a really great, great thing to balance up that pitta fire.
And then how about kapha?
So kapha, it's important for them to have an exercise routine as well. I mean, pittas need to exercise too, and vatas need to have it in terms of a structured schedule. Kaphas are really served if they do their exercise earlier in the day, because it gets their circulation moving, it gets their energy going, then they have that great sustained energy to use the rest of the day. So that would be a really, really key thing to help just to get moving earlier in the day so everything functions better. In terms of the environment, I haven't really thought of that in terms of kapha. I can just imagine that there's really great loungy pillows and great fabric and comfy cushions everywhere. So,
And I would imagine to bring someone with a kapha constitution in to balance, it's supposed to be, from my understanding, just the opposite. Because I was talking to several people about yoga, for instance. My kind of yoga that I really enjoy is the ones where you're just kind of easing yourself in from one asana to the other. It's all of it's quiet, but it's the one that's less intensive, when I should actually be doing maybe some of that hot yoga and maybe a little bit of that goes at a faster pace. Do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, the vinyasa breath to movement yoga.
Yes,
one of the great ironies of heated yoga is and power yoga or flowing yoga is that the vatas and the pittas are really drawn to it, whereas the kaphas really need it the most.
Yes.
It's so ironic, because few of us are born with really amazing intuition, where we, pittas who already know they're fiery and hate hot food, that's really great. They've got some great internal wisdom. But more often than not, we gravitate to the things where like attracts like. So fire wants more fire, and kapha wants more stillness, right?
Yeah,
but what really kapha needs is a more invigorating yoga practice. So even when you look at meditation, there's different styles that would work for the different doshas. So kapha would do really great with a moving meditation, like walking through a garden or a nature trail, where they're really present, paying attention to what's happening around them in nature. What do they smell? What do they see? Like really being connected, but walking while they're meditating. Whereas pittas would do a great job in a quiet meditation, seated or even laying down, but that maybe music and mantra would be helpful for them to help stop the checklisting always going on in their minds.
Yeah.
And vatas would do really well with a seated meditation, right, actually sitting on the floor, so they really feel grounded, and that energy will help with them while they're meditating. So, yeah. I mean, different styles of exercise and different even meditation styles can apply depending on your dosha. That's why this is such a really cool approach to finding balance.
Yeah. You know what? I've had such a delightful time interviewing you, and I want to make sure that I get in more information about you. So tell us something about your cooking show or your cooking course and your farmer's market experience.
Oh, managing the farmer's market has been just an amazing way for me to really get tapped into local and sustainable food. But the added benefit has been this market awareness for what's in season. Because when we go to the grocery store, we see the same foods over and over again. But at the farmer's market, we really get to see what's in season. And one thing I didn't really mention throughout all of this is that seasonal eating is really rooted in Ayurveda. Because Ayurveda teaches us to align our lifestyle and food practices with the season. So when we eat seasonally, we're balancing our dosha. So even if you don't know your dosha and you don't want to take a quiz, and you don't really want to get into a deeper knowledge of this, even just changing your diet and eating seasonal produce will help you find balance. So that's been such a cool thing for me being with the farmers market. And then it inspired me to really play with all of these foods and create healthy, tasty, and simple recipes that I can teach my clients. Because I realize a lot of people have no idea how to prepare healthy food that actually tastes good, that doesn't take 2 hours to make. Mm-hmm. So I found that, you know, that was really one of my niches, is to help other people learn to cook. So I teach cooking classes at a really fantastic kitchen in Huntington Beach. We actually have a Halloween class themed all around pumpkins and squash. That'll be a vegetarian one. That'll be really fun.
Okay.
And it's on Halloween night.
Jen, I hate to interrupt you, but so how can someone access that if it's online?
Well, you can find my my fall online course with some great recipes and invitations to my upcoming events at my website, redjenford.com. That's redjenford.com. And
okay.
I'm in Huntington Beach, and I also do telephone coaching. So you don't worry about commuting. I can still help you over the phone or, just contact me through my website, and we can make it happen.
Okay. So I would like to once again thank my guest, Redjen, for sharing her passion for helping others create a healthy, balanced lifestyle. And if our listeners would like to find out more, please access the information she just offered you. And I want to thank you, my listening audience, for tuning into Frame of Mind today. I hope that you've enjoyed our time together, and I'd like to ask you to think about someone that you know who could be helped or served by this knowledge and share it with them. In the meantime, live in peace and love, everyone, and enjoy your day. Bye.
Hope that you've enjoyed our program this week. Please join your host, Terry Sue, again next weekend. We'll be here Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on 7th Wave Network. Until then, focus on your strengths, live and think healthier this week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.